it was really a flow of consciousness. I wrote the whole song in 90 minutes. So it was really just the track going and telling stories. And it's four verses. I mean, if you look, the song is long compared to today's songs. So there's some songs today don't even have two full 16-bar verses, and I got four full 16-bar verses and a break, too. So there's a lot of words in that and just a lot of thoughts I got out in that 90 minutes.
That's Young MC talking to Ian from Mix 108 Minnesota in 2017. My name is Britt Allen, and this is The Chain, a podcast that links different songs together through history, theory, production, and more. Last time, we looked at legendary bassist Flea and how his contributions linked You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette to Young MC's Busta Move. This episode, we're going to look at the labels behind the hits. Busta Move was released on May 22, 1989 by independent record label Delicious Vinyl. Young MC, born Marvin Young, met label owners Michael Ross and Matt Dyke while he was studying economics at the University of Southern California. He auditioned for the pair over the phone, and they sent a record contract to his USC dorm room. Delicious Vinyl was established in 1987 and achieved almost immediate success. One of their earliest signings was LA gangster Tone Loc, whose single On Fire was the label's first release. Young MC was brought in to write with Tone Loc, collaborating on Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina before branching out on his own. Although Matt Dyke left the label in 1992, Delicious Vinyl has achieved continued success, and according to Wikipedia, is one of the longest-running independent labels in hip-hop history. But the thing that makes Delicious Vinyl truly unique is its side venture, established in collaboration with Michael Ross's brother Rick Ross in 2015.
What does Busta Move and the Taste of Hot Pizza have in common? They're both from the geniuses behind a popular LA record label.
Joining us now, Michael Ross, producer and co-founder of Delicious Vinyl, and Jennifer Hernandez of Delicious Pizza.
That's KTLA 5 Morning News in 2017. The first Delicious Pizza location is on West Adams in LA, and there's now a second store on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. Both pizza places are adorned with hip-hop memorabilia, part museum, part restaurant, kind of like the Hard Rock Cafe. They also display work from local artists and have pop-up performances from DJs and live music acts. But most importantly, they make great pizza. Both the West Adams and Sunset Boulevard locations have 4.5 stars on Google, and YouTubers seem to like it too.
Bread delicious. And not gonna lie, this pizza looks delicious.
This is from a channel called Brady and Brett.
They're living up to the name already.
Delicious Vinyl's creation of Delicious Pizza is a great example of a record company successfully branching out into a new venture. So let's take a look at a case study from the other direction. What happens when a food and beverage company decides to start a record label? In the mid-90s, while Delicious Vinyl was releasing albums from the likes of The Far Side, Born Jamaicans, and Master Ace, a well-known American coffee chain started to sell CDs. Now, Starbucks didn't stock their counters with any hip-hop artists, but they did start selling records by saxophonist Kenny G. Fun fact about Kenny G, he actually helped Starbucks develop the Frappuccino. Here he is in an interview with Bloomberg in 2015.
At the beginning, Starbucks didn't have anything but coffee, and there was another company, Coffee Bean, that had a blended, and it was a sweet drink, and people were lined up around the block, and I would always call Howard and say, Howard, there's this thing that they do there that's like a milkshake or whatever, and so I think that part of the reason that they did Frappuccino was people like me giving them that kind of feedback, so I'd like to think that I was partially responsible for that.
A Starbucks spokesperson corroborated the story, telling People magazine that, quote, Kenny is a dear friend of Starbucks and an early investor in the company. He did provide feedback on the creation of Frappuccino. That's true. Kenny's investment in the company and his drink creation skills probably helped get his CDs into Starbucks stores. But after a few years of only selling smooth saxophone-driven jazz, Starbucks decided to branch out further, purchasing a music distribution and sales company called Hear Music in 1999. Hear Music had 5 retail locations across the US, and Starbucks turned them into CD and coffee shops, trialing inventive new concepts, including CD burning stations, where customers could create their own mix CDs from a library of available tracks at a fee. Throughout the early to mid-2000s, they signed distribution contracts with artists like Alanis Morissette, who sold an acoustic re-recording of Jagged Little Pill exclusively at Starbucks stores in 2005 for the album's 10th anniversary. And in 2007, they took things further again, creating a record label under the Hear Music brand. Their first signing, former Beatle Paul McCartney.
They're calling it the Let It Bean deal. Paul McCartney is officially the first artist signed to the new Starbucks record label.
A 2007 news report there from Associated Press. A bunch of reputable artists followed suit, including Carly Simon, Joni Mitchell, Ray Charles, Sonic Youth, Carole King, and Elvis Costello. But despite having these big names on board, the label's seemingly inevitable success never came. Hear Music was a flop, and after about 12 months, Starbucks handed day-to-day operation of the business over to Concord Music Group, before announcing 3 months later that the label would be shutting down for good. In the meantime, Starbucks was sued by Carly Simon over claims that the company did not do enough promotion for her Hear Music release, This Kind of Love. The album came out 5 days after Starbucks had ceased operation of Hear Music and was never stocked in their stores. Despite this, the lawsuit was dismissed in favour of Starbucks. Now, not every release from the Hear Music label was a failure. In fact, you could theoretically thank Starbucks for helping to launch Sia's career in the US. Some People Have Real Problems was Sia Furler's fourth studio album, but it was the first to place on the US Billboard album charts. The Australian and UK releases came from independent label Monkey Puzzle, but Hear Music was responsible for the album in mainland Europe and the Americas. To promote the release, Sia gave pop-up performances at several Starbucks cafes across the US, meeting fans and signing autographs.
Santa Monica, Starbucks, in-store, for the people. And I guess it's good for sucking up to Starbucks as well.
That's an excerpt from one of Sia's video diaries on YouTube. And although she worried that the deal may somewhat damage her credibility...
I've got mainly mums like me now. Now that the whole Starbucks thing has happened, I used to be like cool, and now all my friends that were cool are like, my mum really loves your album. I've really expanded my demographic.
That's Sia on Mania TV in 2008. The album achieved critical success too. Some People Have Real Problems debuted at number 26 on the Billboard chart and was named the iTunes Top Pop Album of 2008. And the second single, which we are linking to today, made it to number 12 on the Spanish singles charts and number 11 in the Netherlands. If you're listening via the official Spotify playlist, that song, The Girl You Lost to Cocaine, will play for you in just a moment. But if you're listening via Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, or a different podcast app, you can find it on the Music from the Podcast playlist, which is available on Spotify and YouTube. I'll link to it in the show notes. As always, you can find The Chain on Twitter and Instagram at The Chain Pod, and I'm at Britt Aylin. And I just want to say a huge thank you to the people who've been leaving reviews. You're all too kind. Thanks for joining us for this episode. My name is Britt Aylin, and I will catch you next time when we link The Girl You Lost to Cocaine by Sia to the next song in The Chain.